Another name? Oh, certainly. And when the faceless men come to kill me, I'll say, no, you have the wrong man. I'm a different dwarf with a hideous facial scar.
Hello and welcome to Two Champs and a Chomp, a Game of Thrones LCG podcast founded in 2010 by Will Lentz, myself, Brett Zeiler, and Greg Atkinson. Major props go out to FFG for putting out a great game, George R. R. Martin for an amazing product, Card Game DB for our hosting, and Josh Woodward to the Creative Commons licensed music you hear today. Welcome to Season 3.
I don't think we've used that one yet.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Now I'm going to be paranoid every single time we do a quote, though.
That's definitely possible. I went to a different quote website this time, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that may
I'm not farming the same one anymore.
I would just, you know, flip through, like, my card collection or something, but there's hardly any quotes on cards, so.
Yeah, that was a really hit and miss also.
Yeah. But hey, oh well, we're here, right? And where's here? Episode, what the heck, I barely even remember, 106.
I think that sounds right.
And so with me this week, me being Will Lentz, Kenan, I've got 1, 2, 3, everyone introduce themselves all at once.
My name is Brett Zeiler. I'm essentially anonymous on the forums.
My name is Daryl Lloyd, and this episode's going to be safe for work.
Ish.
Wow, that was already hard to not put a word at the end of that sentence.
I can only imagine.
Jonathan Benton, I'm guesting.
Our special guest.
Longclaw.
The Silver Fox.
Is what he's really known by. Fox,
right. Yes. You really ought to make a new forum account by that name, I think. Man,
I tell you what, that name rules.
I've thought about it. And especially, I could make it to where I could make little private in-jokes that only people who listen to the show would know it's me, and I could have some fun with that. I actually thought about that.
Yeah, that would actually be pretty amazing.
I can approve.
It'll catch on worldwide.
The Silver Fox, it's a thing.
Dude, that sounds awesome. I wish I had a tight nickname like that.
You never will.
No. The Haberdashery Kid.
Dude, I love that word.
Yeah, that is a good word. But you don't hardly ever wear hats. I wear hats way more than you.
I said haberdash. Does that have something to do with hats? I don't. What? I don't understand where the joke is.
Boy.
You're the joke, Daryl. As usual, you are the joke.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Well, good for us. Oh, well. So, this episode, we're proud to have the Silver Fox on. Have you appeared on any podcasts or interviews or anything before, John?
No, I have not.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, we are quite pleased to be the first, then.
Nice. Thanks for taking the time out for us.
We drug him on as a full-blown co-host this episode, so we'll see how it goes. He's kind of a reserved individual, so I don't know how well that's going to fit in.
By reserve, we mean he's drinking Steel Reserve right now, right? Yeah. $1.25 will get you drunk.
It's a quality beverage.
about as quality as Beer 30.
And I saw what Beer 30 did to you.
Yeah. I'm a lightweight.
You never heard of it.
Sorry, that's a good thing.
It's a really good thing.
Yeah.
So, top of the show. How about news? What kind of FFG news do we have this week? I've got several open here on the various tabs of my browser. All 80-some-odd of them. First up, we got Days of Ice and Fire 2013 coming up here in a couple weeks. Unfortunately, the headline that I see here on the FFG page mentions that the deadline to pre-register and get the bonus gifts is March 29th. So by the time you're listening to this show, dear listeners, there's not going to be much time left. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't believe I'm going to be able to make it up there this year, but past events have been awesome.
I will also not be there.
I'm trying to remember, have any of you made it to Days of Ice and Fire before, or which events?
I've not.
I made it up to the very first one with Martin.
Minnesota is a long way from Tennessee.
Oh, man, yeah.
I have not made it up there.
It is a boring drive from Missouri, so if you ever consider driving, I'm sure it's just as boring from Tennessee.
It's a lot of time in Iowa, and no one wants to be in Iowa.
Dude, not even Iowans.
Yeah, no offense to our Iowa listeners, but seriously, Iowa smells, man.
I mean, you know, there's much offense.
Like, we drove through there, and there was actually a difference in smell when we crossed into the Iowa border. I don't know what that is. No offense. But your state smells.
Much offense.
Okay. So, you know, maybe not too much to say about Days of Ice and Fire.
I'm sure it'll be a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be a great time. Unfortunately, I doubt they'll be getting George R. R. Martin ever again.
Probably not.
He
demands way too much money, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, the event center's really awesome. So, if you do get the chance, sneak on up there and play and get some goodies. The little drawstring bag actually looks kind of cool. I would use that if I was able to get up there and get it.
For what?
Power counters? Gold tokens?
Anything?
Yeah.
You drove all this way to come to Days of Ice and Fire. Here's a bag with some drawstrings on it.
I mean, there's a bunch of other stuff.
Man.
That just happens to be one of the ones you get for the pre-registration.
But, moving on.
Yeah, definitely moving on. Then on the 30th, we've got International Tabletop Day coming up, which it looks like Fantasy Flight Games is doing some stuff with the Elder Sign expansion, which, you know, I don't really know much about Elder Sign, but it's cool that they are. But down here at Meta, we are going to be running Game of Thrones demos on the 30th during Tabletop Day, so we're going to get things rolling. Is there anything going on for Tabletop Day in your neck of the woods, John?
Not that I know of. There's a local game store that may be doing something with it that I haven't heard about yet, but I haven't been keeping abreast of that, so.
Okay, well, fair enough. But if any of you listeners do have some spare time on Saturday the 30th, wander out to your friendly local game store and take a look and see if they're doing something cool. So hopefully they are.
All right. Apparently also the community open beta ended, something like that?
Yeah, yeah. That was the one that I figured we could maybe get a little discussion going on the community wizard beta.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, see, I think that's my problem with it, is it was so poorly advertised. About a year ago, they added these features to the main FFG website, where you could make like group profiles, like instead of your individual user account, you can make one for like the Valor Midwestis group or the Two Champs and a Chump podcast or the Metagames Unlimited store, and you could schedule events, and they're kind of trying to increase communication on that stuff and make it easier for people to find things. Like it mentions here that the community, that several, community wizard features will be phased out during the coming week. These include the search function, the event management tools, along with the games I'd like to play profile section, and the ability to upgrade individual profiles into organizations are all going to be deactivated on March 29th.
Oh. So apparently it wasn't a very successful, test.
Yeah. Nope. It basically just says that they're going to keep the private message system. Wow. Yeah.
It says that if that makes the website run any better, I'm all for it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it makes the site run faster, that'll be a godsend. But it just, I don't know, it feels like they were offering a lot of cool features for the community wizard, like to help people find stuff and schedule events and things, except that a month after it was released, I forgot it existed.
Mm-hmm. And none of us talked about it. I think I remember, like, we talked about it on an episode of the podcast, but I haven't thought about it since then.
Yeah, like, there was no pub. I don't know. Maybe I didn't go looking for it enough, because I already, you know, have a store I go play at regularly and stuff. Was there a link, like, at the top of the forums to direct people to it? Does the search box on the site? I guess I can test that now, since it's before the 29th. Does it pull up things from the Community Wizard if I type in the search box? No, I just searched for Game of Thrones, and it seems to be taking me to the board game second edition, or the card game, leading to, let's see, is that the forum section? Let's find out. Okay, that's the two-player HBO box. Yeah, I don't think it looks like that's linked into any sort of results from that part of the service. I don't know. It just feels like it was too segregated to be of any use. Like, it was almost set up to fail.
Well, I mean, sounds like it's, I don't know, 7 years too late, because there's this thing called Facebook that lets you already do all that stuff.
That's actually really true.
And I realize that you're going to try to help your site grow and everything, but unfortunately, Facebook has monopolized all of that kind of stuff. Okay? So they need to think about something else. I think what they should actually worry about, rather than this community wizard, is getting their forums up and working properly. That would be a good investment of time. Maybe I'm crazy.
Hey, maybe this was eating up too many spare server cycles or something. Maybe that's why the boards have been slow.
Oh,
maybe. Who knows?
That's terrible. And I mean, for FFG, this is a company we're talking about that I haven't seen any numbers on it, any hard and fast numbers, but I think we can probably safely estimate that they're the number two gaming company in America, right?
Absolutely.
I think that's a pretty safe.
Probably fair.
It's atrocious. I mean, they really need to have a better face on the internet than that site. But
yeah, I'm not sure where their money goes, to be honest.
It's not into the website.
Yeah, we want to see some pie charts.
Daryl, I think you also have some news.
Exactly.
I do. Are you talking about our new segment?
No.
I don't know what we're talking about then.
Facebook poll there.
Yeah, I was going to say, Brett has one job on the show. That's the fine quotes. I have most of the other jobs, but you've recently taken a job upon yourself, Daryl.
That's true. Not everything. All the boring stuff is posted by the other guys. But most of the stuff, the card of the day per se type stuff, and recently the poll that's been put on our Facebook, which will be not so recent when you guys hear this.
Couple days old.
Anywho, yeah, but I've been pretty active in the Facebook page. I think that's kind of an important thing, kind of a fun thing to keep you guys close to us and whatnot. So I put up a poll, and it will still be up there by the time this airs. So if you haven't...
What is the poll in a nutshell?
I was going to get to that, okay. But currently this poll, and I plan on doing some more if this one goes well, but this particular poll is, what do you think is the most garbage / unplayable card in the game? So that's just an idea of a card that maybe is a trap or has wronged you in all the wrong ways, doesn't work the way that it reads, sort of, like requires maybe a deeper knowledge of the rules to really get how it works. Or just plain sucks, like without his beard.
So what's winning at the moment, Daryl?
Right now, what's winning? I think it has 7 or 8 votes. Is Unbowed, Unbent, Unbroken.
Go figure.
Right. I can. I mean, yeah. I see why that card, you know, sucks. I unfortunately, I'm really scared. Because somebody out there is going to find a way to just break this card. Maybe. I don't know.
Probably not.
So far, it's pretty terrible.
Bruno seems like he has hope, but...
I mean, if anybody can do it, it's Bruno. So I'm looking forward to this. I would love for the majority to be wrong, but I don't think we're wrong this time. But I also had up there, Without His Beard, Backroom Bribery, which is just an atrocious card, Secret Hideout, which is... I don't know why you would ever run that card, ever, in any scenario.
Oh, Greg had a combo deck planned out at one point.
Yeah,
using Pyre of the False Gods.
Pyre of the False Gods, and then do you, like, with that Robert that lets you play any phase events? I don't know.
Yeah, because then, like, the Secret Hideout means you draw from the bottom of the deck, which is where the Pyre's putting your events, and so you just keep getting the same couple events back all the time.
So just garbage. But as of right now, no one has put the Compelled By X, so the Compelled By of events or whatever, because those haven't, like, those aren't very good. I don't know what people's problem is, but no one plays those at all. Compelled By the Rock is banned, so I think you guys need to know that those cards are not good, but nobody has put those as the worst, any of those. But anyways, we haven't done it.
Oh, I was going to say, I want to get the scoop. Mr. Jonathan Benton, what do you think is the worst card in the game?
I don't know. Those are some good choices right there. But it's kind of hard to argue with Without His Beard. That's a rough one.
Thank you, sir. I'm pulling for Without His Beard. I really am.
No, I think that one has a... I mean, it's absolutely worse than Bad and Unbroken.
Yeah. I think the main problem with it is that you have to... If you reveal three cards, you have to choose all or nothing as far as discarding them. If you could be like, well, I pulled these three. This one is like a Barrack Dondarrion. The other two are like two limited locations. We'll just discard the Barrack and let you redraw or whatever. Even then, it's still not good, but that alone makes it not good.
Yeah, we don't need to reanalyze the card itself too much.
Let's get into a deeper understanding of Without His Beard
and why it's so bad.
And it goes
that's unnecessary.
Yeah, if here's the thing. If this card can't be put into some kind of crazy Shaga deck that Will comes up with, it's got to be trash. Because he puts all kinds of crap in those Shaga decks, and it works, so...
Sometimes.
It usually doesn't work.
Yeah, I was just saying that to be nice, but anyways. Thank you.
Okay, so is there any news that I missed that you guys caught?
Not that I've noticed.
Okay. Well, fair enough. If you do, listeners, think of something we missed or otherwise want to comment or let us know how the show is going, drop us a line at Daryl. I think you've got this down to a fine art now.
Oh, yeah. You can do our email at twochampsonechump@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter, twochampsonechump@twitter.com. Or you can hit us up on our Facebook page, twochampsonechump Facebook. I don't really know the Facebook address for it. I think it's facebook.com/2champs1champ, which I think we can edit that to be like 2C1C or something. I don't know. Anywho, there's probably one other one I'm forgetting. Oh, Google Plus is still a thing.
It is. I was on it.
Shockingly,
today.
It's still a thing.
If you listeners want more Google Plus, if you want to do, what do they call it, a huddle or something like that, where we like get everybody together?
Hangout.
Yeah, a hangout, and we can... If you guys want to hang out with us and we can, I don't know, talk about strategy or do something awesome like that, let us know. And we will try to make Google Plus still a thing. But
I
until
think
then,
that would actually be kind of fun if listeners would be down for it.
That does sound fun as I start to talk about it. So
we could get Felicia Day and Will Wheaton.
Brilliant.
Not Will Wheaton.
Next up is a segment that we're calling Lessons with the Silver Fox, which may or may not become a regular every few episodes part of the show, where Benton comes on and tells us what is wrong with the way that we rated a card. And he's going to take these boys to school and let us know how it's done the right way. All right, Benton, throw it at us.
All right. Well, I don't want this to be too much like shooting fish in a barrel, you know, because this is, you know, I don't want to make anybody cry, but every once in a while I'm listening to your all show and really enjoying it, and you're rating some cards, and I'm thinking, yeah, these guys, they've got it together, and they know what they're talking about. And then I do this double take where I'm like, what in the world are they thinking about this? So the last time this happened was, I guess, the last chapter pack. And you got to the end, and you were doing really well. I was in agreement on just about everything. And then you got to negotiations at the Great Sept. And I thought, when I saw this card, I thought, you know, we're going to see this thing in tons of decks. And I believe, I don't know if it got better than a C. Somebody might have given it a B. I can't.
I'm pretty sure I gave it a B. I really love that card.
I almost could have sworn that I gave it a B, but
Daryl did not like that card.
It's been a while since I've read it or listened to that show.
Okay, you may have given it a B, but everybody was downplaying it and not really, you know, you're even a B. Yeah, it's good, but man, I think that's an A card if I've ever seen one, and especially in the LCG, you're comparing it to a card like Bounty of the Realm. Is that
right?
The card?
Yeah, sure enough, that was my first thought,
which is an amazing card. And we don't get very many cards like that, but it's pretty darn close with three gold and two claim. That's it's kind of takes you aback at first because you're looking at it going, this doesn't fit in with city plots, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It almost means you can't run city plots with it because you can't time it. Obviously, you're not going to play it early, but and I think that's kind of an interesting limiting mechanic on it, by the way, but we could get into a rabbit trail on that. But I think every aggro deck that doesn't have great draw, which are quite a few of them.
Most of them.
Most of them is going to be playing that card. It's going to fit in awesome with a deck like Holy Hand Grenade that can strip an opponent's hand very easily. But even if you can't, just the ability to give yourself one more fighting chance. I think that's one thing that's been missing from rush decks and aggro decks in this game. And of course, with the recent FAQ hit on control decks, I think it's going to push rush decks and aggro decks even that much further. So definitely an A card in my book. Maybe I'll end up being wrong on that, but the two claim and being able to fill your hand back up.
So,
pretty solid.
Okay, so it's just to kind of, you know, fit this in with the way we were looking at rating our cards now with the revised system, then it's a neutral card being a plot like that. So it can be played in any house. And I'd say the guideline of our A cards was that's going to be in, what, 90% of the decks of that house, if not all. So that would mean, since this is neutral, that it would have to go in like 90 to 100% of all the decks you build if that's an A card. Are you feeling that confident about it that you're almost without question throwing that in any deck at this point?
No, then I would take more issue with the rating system then.
Well, you know, we've always thought, you know, an A is mirror read. Mirror read is an A card, you know.
Yeah.
Does this card scream mirror read? You know, with the lower ones, you can kind of have a lot of give and take, but those A cards are, you know, those
mirror read's an A plus card. This is an A card.
Oh,
that's actually a fair statement.
Or mirror read's an A plus plus card.
Well, yeah. I tell you, Ben, I see where you're coming from here. I just think that right now, it's a tough slot to fill right now with the plots, the really good plots that are out there. I don't know. I don't know if I could put it in there.
I guess where he's coming from, especially when Russian aggro decks that are going to be probably a lot more popular this regional season than they have been in the past. And it is awesome in those decks after you play out, you know, your hand down to like one or two cards, just getting that to refill yourself. Effectively drawing five cards.
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, that with that boost that they're getting or have been getting, this is going to slot in even better. But it is kind of interesting that John mentioned Bounty of the Realm, which I actually played most of the time in a pretty heavy control deck of mine. Actually, it's funny that I'm bringing this up now because it's actually the deck that I played against Jonathan in a Gen Con top 8 round, right? Or was it top 4? No, it was top 8. Yeah, at Gen Con a few years back, with a super control-y, like, Lanny lockdown deck. And
by far, the best play I ever made in a game was during that game.
Wow.
I'll come back in a minute to find out what that play was.
I want
to
know.
But I was just going to say, you know, it's been so long since I've played that deck that I'm a little fuzzy now on... the game plan really about... Never mind, I'm not fuzzy. Now that I think about it, that was actually a combo deck in many ways because it relied on getting a specific character in play. So that was really all I was doing was going ahead and chucking my whole hand to dig for him. Now that I remember, that's what it was, to get Tywin. So actually, you know, if you've got an Uber character build going or something that centralizes on a particular card, it's going to be pretty solid for more combo-type decks. But anyway, so what was that play, John?
Well, that game was amazing, first off, just because, you know, it went 2.5 hours and it was so just like...
That does not sound amazing to me.
That sounds awful.
It sounds terrible.
Oh, it was, but it was also amazing.
Sure.
You had Tywin, of course, on the board and just a ton of characters, and my deck was a huge lockdown deck that had Lannister and... It was Treaty to Martell, or vice versa. And it ran Broken Arms and Students of Subtleties and Enemy Informers and Personal Guards and all that fun stuff. And we both had each other locked down pretty well, even though we probably had, what do you think, 8 to 10 characters each on the table?
Oh, yeah, it was sick.
The only thing keeping me in the game, because Will was at 14 and I was about 16 or 17, I needed 20, and Will was probably at 13 or 14 for a lot of the game, was I had the Illyn Payne that while he was standing, as a response, anytime you knelt a character of 2 strength or less, you could kill it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And I was having to keep Tywin knelt so he wouldn't lock down every single character I had. So I was having to come up with a kneel effect every time, and then eventually I got enough influence out and Broken Arms out that I could take away a lot of his bigger characters, but he had a lot of weenies there too. And if he could have ever pushed through one challenge, he would have won the game. And so he finally got a kneel effect. This is probably 9th or 10th plot, to kneel that Illyn Payne. And I'm sitting there looking and thinking I've lost the game. And I look down and I realize I can lock him in the tower, use my locked in the tower on my own Illyn Payne and play him again during marshal. Because I was marshaling after Will, and that saved my butt. So I was pretty proud of that.
Wow, yeah, nice. I did not remember that particular play, but that sounds like the sort of just crushing, demoralizing thing that would have happened during that game.
That happens to Will in most games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what it feels like to be beat by the Silver Fox. So.
it's not that great, and that's actually the second time he's beat me in a Gen Con game that mattered, though the other one was Melee, so... Oh, well.
I'm sure it's sweet. I'm sure it's nice.
Does the statute of limitations run out on Daryl's game? No, wait, you beat me again last year. I'm sorry, I'm still mad at you, Daryl.
And no, losing to Daryl never. There's no statute of limitations on that here.
I tell
you're
you,
in for life.
I beat all these guys more often than people think, but my own play mistakes just destroy my world. Right.
Make
right?
for better stories than your wins.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
We forgot to do Daryl's Dirty Dozen play mistakes of the, not of the regional.
Was the Moon Boy.
The Moon Boy, that's right. Oh, but well, I got them all, but there were some doozies.
We'll tally them up here for the whole regional season and mm-hmm. bring those to listeners.
I don't want to say that I'm retarded, but I might be. I make some mistakes.
Yeah, I think we should keep a running tally on those and do it a pre-Gen Con Daryl's 30 Dozen Part 2 episode.
That sounds brilliant.
Man, but I tell you, whenever it's against Benton, I'm locked in.
This is true. This is very true. Although he tried to scoop on me on that first game, and I wouldn't let him because he hadn't quite won yet. No, seriously, it was the other way around. I mean, he tried to give me the game.
Yeah.
And I needed that. 21 power. I had wildlings out, and I was like, Daryl, you're still in this thing, man. So, and he got a timed win out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Maybe Benton's my my muse. You're the reason I win, man.
You should be paired against Benton every round of every tournament. I'll be world champion.
Stranger things have happened.
Well, maybe I just have to have Benton, like, close to me. Like, maybe
here for you, Daryl.
Maybe you should stand behind me in every match I play.
Daryl, just change your last name to Boyd, and then you'll wind up setting nearby Benton most of the day during the tournaments.
Is that what needs to happen? I don't know. If I ever make it to a final table anywhere and you're there, Benton, you better stand close. That's the deal, brother.
I'll have the smelling salts and the towel and the Vaseline for the cuts, and yeah, I'm in your corner. I'm right there.
Nice.
What's Rocky's trainer's name?
Mick?
Mick, yeah. I'll be Mick.
There we go. That'd be nice.
It's never going to happen.
It's. I mean, I haven't even made a top 8 yet. In Joust.
One of these days.
Yeah, it's really depressing to say it out loud like that.
Yeah, geez, Daryl. Even I've made top 8 a couple times.
Dude, me too.
I know, and I crush you guys. What is going on?
You actually did the last time we played.
Yeah.
So, Brett, why don't you move us along?
Well, as many of our listeners probably know, regional season is very, very close to being upon us. By the time you're listening to this episode, we'll be pretty much a week out from the first weekend in April, which is the first weekend of regional season. And so we wanted to take a little bit of time to go over some of our thoughts of what's going to happen. And I think Will even has some testimonies from some other people we're going to talk about as well.
Yeah, sure enough. Well, who wants to go first? Or would you guys like to hear some testimonies first, and then we can kind of incorporate that into the discussion?
Yeah,
let's go with that, sure.
Okay, fair enough. I'll admit, I unfortunately only had this idea literally like today and started trying to contact some folks from various and sundry metas around that I thought might get a paragraph or two written back to me quickly today. So I apologize for not having quite as broad a scope as one might hope for, but we've still got a few folks worked in here. So the first kind, generous soul to get back with me was Todd Frazee, friend of the show and my own good friend in Melee at Gen Con, who plays in the Cincinnati meta. I'm going to paraphrase him a little bit, but basically he says that they really pride themselves on homebrewing their own decks for Thrones, which kind of meets with middling success. But he looks forward to playing things out there right now, and he is really trying to tech against Lanny Neal and Targ Burn at the moment. He does have one particular concern for the regional season with Aegot, is that numbers will not be as impressive as last year. The game is exciting again for sure, but he's already seen that many of their key players can't or won't make their regional. There's a Netrunner regional at the same time in another store about an hour north that's happening at the same time as the Aegot regional, so they've lost at least one of their locals to it, maybe more, you know, plus some of the out-of-towners that were near enough to come. So he's afraid that's going to be mirrored all around, and numbers are going to be a bit depressed. So, good for him, he says. More prizes for everyone that does show up, but possibly bad odds on the store wanting to try it again next year.
Yeah, that's a different conversation entirely, but we've even lost players due to Netrunner. Not really Star Wars, but definitely Netrunner. I mean, those are great games, but Yeah, that'll happen.
Well, I wound up with two responses from the Tulsa Meta. One from Steven, one of the owners there, who you may notice from the Team Covenant podcast, formerly of Two Guys, One Throne.
One Throne.
And Buzz Hannon. And Steven says basically that he's thinking Greyjoy Raiders with House of Dream using either LIV or Grief. And exploiting High Claim. I'm assuming that probably means with Naval Icons, so he didn't really clarify that. Lanny Tunnels, he thinks, is kind of losing out in popularity right now to some of the PBJ cards at the moment. And Martell with the real control-y stuff, he seems kind of skeptical on. Let's see. Baratheon, a Shy Rush with Mel, he's liking. Stark, still some House of Dreams derivative he mentions. And suggests that he wouldn't be surprised to see a quick Siege deck, which I think we can hit on a little more here in a minute. And that thanks to Zach, he's prepping for Targ Burn. Buzz, on the other hand, gave an exceptionally detailed answer of like a dozen paragraphs or so, so I'm going to really try to paraphrase him. And basically, he's saying that their regional in Tulsa is on April 13th. Everyone is invited, and he cannot prop that enough. So if you're anywhere near the Tulsa, Oklahoma area, head on down there on Saturday the 13th. I forgot to double-check their format, but I'm assuming they'll be doing it like they did last year with a round of Melee and then several rounds of Swiss Joust afterward to fit both formats into the same day. But he's really feeling that after the FAQ here, he feels that Hollow Hill is in the binder. He feels that the extra speed brought on to some of the rush decks by the control restrictions is too much for Hollow Hill to overcome at the moment. He's really liking a variety of Power Behind the Thrones fueled Noble Rush, Greyjoy Aggro, possibly, possibly Black Sails. He mentions the High Claim stuff as well. Bera Holy, or Bera Knights, again, kind of the Noble Aggro Rush also kind of lumped in here. And it's interesting, though, that he thinks that the Targ Hollow Hill build may still be the best deck in the format. So I'm a little confused.
Still a strong deck.
No, I'm just confused that he says post-FAQ Hollow Hill is in the binder. The feeling is the extra speed from the FAQ is allowed into the meta by restricting so many control options is just too much for the Hollow Hill to overcome, leading to a few strong archetypes rising up to take their place. But then he mentions that he still thinks it's super popular and remains the best deck in the format.
Oh.
So maybe he just means everything other than Targ that was trying it, i.e. Martell, and I've heard folks were trying it out with Lanny as well. Got a short message also from Tiny Grimes over in the Cali meta. You may recognize him from the Summer is Coming and Smuggler's Den podcasts. And his answer was basically he honestly doesn't have any clue. he feels the meta is basically so wide open that it's actually kind of annoying to him. If you've chatted with him or listened to him at all, he is super Jamie. And so the thought of a format that isn't solved per MTG speak, it obviously seems to be kind of concerning to him. Because basically he mentions his thoughts that Lanny, Burn, Rush, and Gas and Grey are all viable, but there's nothing that matches up well with all of them. So what are you supposed to do? At that point, there's a lot of guessing what your friends will play and hoping not to hit those terrible matchups. So while the new restricted list has been amazing for opening up the meta, I feel like it's added more of a rock-paper-scissors element than we saw last season. And then, unfortunately, I mentioned this to the guys earlier, I also got a hold of our very own Greg Atkinson and Matt Lay up in Nebraska, but they emailed me at my work email address, and I forgot to email it back here so that I could have access. Greg basically echoed Tiny's thoughts that the meta is wide open after the FAQ. He's thinking that Stark Siege is looking good. He thinks Martell Knights of the Hollow Hill is looking different but very good. And he's also rather concerned about the number of regionals. Matt, on the other hand, sounded much more positive on the meta being wide open, and says he's super excited to not know how everything's going to play out. So, okay, there we go. Tried to breeze through that as quick as I could.
Well, if I may, really quick.
Yeah.
I remember my first Worlds I went to, which was the first Gen Con I went to. I don't know about you guys, but you talk about a wide open meta or whatever, a wide open array of different decks. I saw everything while I was there, and I feel like everything was played there. And that's when you could run Night's Watch and the Wildling Agendas together. And I saw it out of Martell. I saw it out of Targaryen.
So you saw all every house, just they all had the same agendas.
Well, not all of them. I mean, I was running Martell Knights, or not Night's Watch, Martell Shadows. The deck that won was just Lannister Neil, and that was no agenda. I think I don't think he was running an agenda of any kind.
But there was that here.
Yeah, and there was a fair amount of Night's Watch and Wildling where guys needed 23 power to win, but there was still a ton of other decks, and I felt that there was a very even match there. I mean, I went up against three decks running Night's Watch and Wildling stuff, and I had some victories over some of those, but I don't think that was the most popular there. I'm not sure what the numbers were, but that was enjoyable for me, the amount of variety that was out there, and I think right now we're going to see a fair amount of variety going into regionals. And then going into Worlds, I'm assuming, at least right now. So this is excellent for me. I'm salivating. That's it. That's all I wanted to say.
I'll echo what Tiny and or what Mostyn really said, that the meta is really wide open right now. Really, every house bar Baratheon has a couple really solid builds, and Baratheon has like one-ish that's good. I could be proven wrong there, but I really don't feel like Bear has a ton of really good builds, unlike pretty much every other house has at least two or three that I think could definitely do well.
Yeah, poor Bear.
All right.
Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, I was going to say, you wanted to be on the show to chat about this rather than writing back a couple paragraphs. So I feel like you've got some tidbits to lay on us.
Well, one of the things that I take a look at is I know that Europe has been very, in the past, has been very different with their meta and the way that it's mm-hmm. evolved. But I guess with more recent times, you've seen a little more crossover there between the two metas. And one of the recent, it's not really a regional, but they had a large tournament there, the Battle for the Wall. In Spain, and some of the best European players were there, and I found it very interesting to read some of those things that that came from that. And one of the things that jumped out at me, and this was post-fact, was the rush decks. I really thought that some of those rush decks were very well constructed. There was a Landing Power Behind the Throne that did very well. There was a Baron Knights deck that ended up second, and I think that's more confirmation that rush decks are going to do very mm-hmm. well. One thing that concerns me about as we head into regional season is that the fact didn't do enough to bring Targ down. I think it did a good job of bringing everybody else close together, even though it's probably right to say that Barra is the bottom. I don't think they're that far away. I think everybody else is clumped very close together, but Targ still, I think, is easily top dog. And I just hope that they're not, there's not a, such a gap there that they run away with a bunch of regionals this year.
They definitely might.
Yeah, it seems like they didn't get hit that much. I mean, I did kind of glance at that that first place deck. I mean, not only is it Targ, but it's still Maesters. Right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
I mean
Targ Maesters has been good for the last year and a half.
Yeah. It wasn't going anywhere because it was a new style of agenda. I mean, at least in the LCG, we'd never seen anything even close to that deck. I mean, that type of agenda. I mean, it's excellent. So, I it's going to be a long time, I think, before we see Maesters fall off.
The good news is we have some new toys to play with, so you are going to get fewer people playing Maesters.
That's definitely true. About.
Yeah,
between Long Voyage and Black Sails, I think those agendas will be really popular for regional season. Whether that really keeps going into Worlds, I don't know. But
now, question on those, particularly the Long Voyage. Do you really think the top tier tourney players are gonna roll with that, or do you think it's gonna be more the mid and lower range folks kind of just getting into the groove?
Well, I'll let Brett go first. Go ahead, Brett.
I would say probably more of option two. I mean, there might be a busted Long Voyage deck out there, but it's not one that I know of. So Long Voyage is probably less good than Black Sails in my mind. I think Black Sails could be really strong, especially as we get more naval cards into the game as the regional season progresses. But just because of the new shiny factor, I think we will see a ton of both of those agendas.
Oh, Black Sails, I both think it has a shiny factor going for it, and I think a lot of cool strategic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of feeling like Long Voyage is going to be a bit of a trap.
Yeah, Long Voyage, I mean, you got to think about that. An 85-card deck, that's 25 extra cards. Now, I told the guys that I would build one of those just to see what it was like. But I don't think I'm going to. There might be one house for it, and the first house that comes to mind is Stark. But as far as what Brett said, there might be a busted version out there. I don't think there is at all.
It's a pain to shuffle, I can tell you that.
Oh, I bet.
You do have to be able to shuffle your deck unaided, I believe. So.
Yeah.
Shuffling machine.
I don't think there's going to be a busted version. I mean, right now you see no support for the Long Voyage, like you see support for the Black Sails.
What kind of support could we see for the Long Voyage? It just makes you draw an extra card every turn.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I mean, 25 extra cards. Can you even think of 25 extra cards to add to a deck to actually make it better or to actually contribute without being like, well, I draw into this. This is garbage. This does nothing for me.
Well, I can probably think of 25 extra reasonably applicable cards, but I'm just, I'm without a pretty absurd amount of search, the odds are much better that you just don't wind up seeing the ones you happen to need in a particular matchup if you need something in particular, you know?
Yeah, you got to have search. That's going to be the trick, I think, to run an 85-card deck. I mean, that is something. That's 15 away from 100. So
yeah, that's how numbers work.
Here's a basic math lesson with Daryl. That's a fat deck.
It is an almost 50% increase. How's that?
There you go.
Now, I'm not exactly the math whiz on this one, though. I have a guess that other people may know more about this aspect of it than me. But I'm thinking with that bigger deck size, you're just not going to see or you're going to feel the effects of bad random distribution more. Okay, like you have a bad game sometimes with a normal deck where you just, you take your mulligan, you have a cruddy hand, you take a mulligan, you still have a pretty cruddy hand. But after a while, you're going to draw through it and start hitting some other cards. Right, assuming random distribution and stuff. There's only so many other cards left in that deck. You're going to draw into the stuff that would actually be good at some point, right? as far as things go, it feels to me, without examining the math side, that it's going to be harder for you to draw into the stuff that you're still looking for after that mulligan.
I don't know the math enough to really comment on that. Yeah, I definitely understand where your thoughts coming from, but I couldn't comment one way or the other.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ah, well.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be enough to make it a deal breaker, because I think a lot of people are going to find that once you get the percentages right, it's probably going to be okay. But yeah, I do think you're right in the fact that it's going to have a slightly higher percentage. I had a game last year, I kind of hate to remember this, but this was at a regional in which the game I just tanked because I drew 24 or 25 cards and 17 or 18 of them were non-character cards.
Good and, Lord.
You know, there is that risk, but of course I wasn't drawing three cards a turn. But I think if the percentages are there, for the most part, you're going to be okay, and you're going to get that free draw, but you're going to have a slightly higher chance of a game like that happening.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. If, I mean, when you are building a Long Voyage deck, you clearly have to, you know, build the deck differently than you would build a 60-card deck. Like, you can't just run the, you know, 10 or however many resource locations you need to play. You do need to run a couple more, probably. So, I mean, if you go through and actually build the deck differently than you would build a 60-card deck, I don't think it'd be as much of an issue.
Fair enough. Well, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say another thing that I kind of am looking at in relation to regional season versus more in the future. It kind of surprised me that House of Dreams didn't see more play earlier. And I don't know if that's because it takes the meta a while to warm up to, and can maybe find some of those optimal builds. So maybe we won't see the newer agendas. I don't know. I'm just guessing here.
Yeah. I think it's kind of tough with House of Dreams because there was kind of this perfect storm of stuff, with it hitting after Worlds and then the Star Wars release. So a lot of people kind of jump ship for a while to play that or experiment with Netrunner, and like a lot of people kind of took a break. And then, you know, we started kind of in the new year getting ready to get rolling with Thrones again, but there was this hesitation while everyone kind of waited because we knew there had to be a new FAQ coming before the regional season set in. And I talked to several players that basically said, we're just going to hang loose till we see because We don't know. We got a feeling something's going to change because Maesters are still too much and, you know, this and that. So I just kind of wonder if maybe that had an effect on why we haven't seen as much as you'd expect.
Way to kill the conversation.
Yeah, man, I'm good at it. Okay, that's all right. I've got a couple other agenda-related ideas to bounce off of you guys.
Okay.
As far as the new agendas go, while we're on House of Dreams, of course, there's the new Epic Battle that's out, right? That at first people were saying really hoses House of Dreams. Now, I'm not sure it does.
Because it doesn't by the words written on the card?
Right, right. But it does make initiative super important for the House of Dreams decks. And they're already looking at initiative pretty well because of search and detain, right? So they already have that emphasis. The reason being with the Epic Battle, for anybody that doesn't know, is it just takes control of the location, and it never leaves play, so the location still has the immunities. So, like, if you're the House of Dreams player and you go second, you could then make the Epic Battle challenge back, take your own location back, and essentially be none the worse for wear.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also heard talk from several people. This was something Matt did mention in his email that I had kind of skimmed over in my memory. But other people have also said that they feel that Knights of the Hollow Hill is the best agenda right now, which kind of throws influence stuff out of whack. So, related thing, do you guys agree on Knights of the Hollow Hill? And does that prevalence of that screw with House of Dreams because it feels like it needs initiative so badly?
I mean, Natsuhil Hill is definitely probably one of the top, I don't know, five to wager, probably one of the top five agendas as far as power level goes in the game. And it definitely does mess with the initiative. Lots of times I see people flip their whatever plot into my whatever plot and just look at the numbers printed on the card and just start going with, you know, whatever they think is, however they think initiative is going to work out, because it is probably the least important of the three bonuses printed on that agenda.
Brett, you sound like a politician here. You didn't really answer the question. He said, do you think that Knights of the Hollow Hill is the best agenda? A yes or a no? Come on, man. You can't keep doing this.
It's a hard-hitting show here.
Hardball with Daryl. Oh, yeah.
It's an entirely different kind of hardball.
Absolutely different.
Come on.
Do I think it's the best agenda in the format? I mean, no, but I couldn't name what I think is the best agenda in the format. I just know there are good agendas.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Daryl, how about yourself then?
That's fine. Spot. Okay, do I think that Knights of the Hollow Hill is the best agenda? No. I don't think so at all. I think it is very, very powerful, but I'm still going to give the nod to the Maester's Path. I still think that the Maester's Path is just fantastic. It thins your deck, gives you a lot of tools to use. I think that that's still the best agenda in the game. If you take away First Snow, Knights of the Hollow Hill is not nearly as good. It's still really good, but it's not. It definitely goes down a notch without First Snow, but almost all of them run it, so whatever. But the Maester's Path is something different. Now, the Black Sails is looking really, really good. Probably going to need a little more time on it, but it's got some great support so far from the plots. I don't know, just something about having a deck that you can search out things just for winning challenges is pretty great. Well, in which you declared a
naval attacker.
But anywho. Currently for me, number one is the Maester's Path.
Still is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it powered that Targ deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, to a victory in a giant tournament.
Mm-hmm. Well, John, let's put you on the spot. Knights of the Hollow Hill. Best agenda?
Yes. And I'm going to put a little bit of an asterisk on this. Because I think it is really close with the Maester's Path, and I think the gap is closing, but that's not to say it doesn't have some weaknesses, you know. And as a matter of fact, I think one of the ones I've been seeing lately could make a big splash at regionals, and I dropped a few seconds there, so you guys might have mentioned this, but Stark Siege with Epic Battles, it can really do a number on a Knights of Hollow Hill deck. So
he is blazing fast. We've definitely been seeing that down here.
Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, and I've been experimenting with an Epic Battle Power Behind the Throne deck, which is probably less stable than the, you know, Blockade, Rule by Decree, Fear Winter, all that jazz. But it's real fun to grab the second turn win out of it against Greyjoy Choke. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, the Epic Battle stuff may be making a comeback.
Oh, yeah, especially with the new one, the new Epic Battle that hits House of Dreams. So.
Except it totally doesn't.
It does.
It hits it. Maybe it just doesn't hurt it.
Whatever.
I mean, it doesn't do anything.
It works. Shut up. It works. If you play it in an FFG sanctioned event, they're going to say it works. Come on.
I mean, I'm just calling it like the card reads.
Whatever. In some language somewhere, losing is losing. It's not our fault that whoever wrote that, I'm not going to name any names, can't spell. But it works the way that it works.
Okay, so more generic question then. You've got a wide open format by pretty much unanimous declaration. How do you approach that from a competitive level? You know, like, where do you come at? Do you just default to I don't know, trying to build a rush deck just because, hey, hopefully no matter what I see, I can just go ahead and win fast and I don't have to worry about them, which, you know, something like Stark Siege can potentially do. Yeah, by and large, it doesn't care what the opponent does. Yeah. Or, you know, do you guys have some strategies or thoughts on where to approach a wide open format?
Well, I think right now, I think that with the history that the LCG has had, is that control decks come out on top, or have come out on top as far as winning major tournaments. Is Stark Siege a viable deck right now? Absolutely. Could you build it and go into a tournament and just be like, hey, let the cards fall where they may and do pretty well? Probably. But I think in the end, if you're wanting to win, you're going to build a control deck right now. I think even with the state that the meta is in right now, I still think that control is the way to roll. So I don't think you can just jump in there with just any aggro deck. I think if you're going in there with any aggro deck, it's going to be the Stark Siege deck.
Personally. Although Bear Knights apparently did really well.
Mm-hmm.
Second in that big tournament. I don't know anything about the deck list, so I can't really comment about the deck in specific. I just know that it did really well.
All right, so Daryl still feels the default is to roll with control of some kind. What about either of the other two gentlemen?
I agree for the most part. I think a lot of times the best control deck or the best like aggro or rush decks do have at least some kind of element of control, like the Robert Maester deck that I won with at Gen Con in 2011. It was a rush deck, but it also had the chains for control and the threat from the north, killing a guy every phase with Robert. So there was definitely control in that deck, although I would consider it a rush deck in general.
Really weird. I would look at it and totally say the opposite.
Yeah, it felt like a control deck to me that had some rush elements.
Yeah.
I mean, tell the people I beat on plot two.
Yeah, that was a rush deck. I agree, bro. That was definitely a rush deck. It was so much of a rush deck that I decided not to play it because I just couldn't bring myself to play it.
Wow.
Oh, that sounds like an insight into John's approach then. How would you tackle this format?
I've only ever played a rush deck in a tournament in my life one time, and that was last year at Gen Con, and the only reason it was because it was in my favorite house. It was Martell Maesters, and I didn't feel like a long day of hour-long deck games. I was taking a very, I guess, laissez-faire approach last year at Gen Con. But, I still made the cut, but by the skin of my teeth. Most likely. I have too hard of a time not playing control decks. And it's more for me, it's about enjoying the deck and playing with some of my favorite cards rather than, I do want to find the best deck in the format, but if I find a deck that's going to beat everything, I'll definitely play it. But, so 2 years ago, it was between my Martell Summer and that Robert deck, and that was kind of a no-brainer for me. I just went with my old standby control. So.
And would you lose to in top Ace?
Yeah, I know. I know. We won't go there, though.
To be fair, Brett did lose to Martell Summer earlier in that tournament.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So it's not like he went through that thing unbeaten. So,
and just to talk about that game for a minute, I really felt like I was in a good spot in that game. Now, I didn't know what you had in your hand, of course, but I felt like if I had unlimited time, I might have been able to pull it out. I don't know that, obviously, but it was a game where I'd played that matchup probably 50 times to get ready for it because those decks I wanted to, I was looking at playing. And I knew that I could not let you get unopposed. I couldn't let you get free power here and there because I would lose. And I had to hold out for my Gaston Grey to come online. And, of course, it didn't for the first four or five turns in the game. Well, they decided to make that those cut rounds hour-long games. And that made it really difficult for me to win that because I was having to really stall and play play defensively and block everything. And so that was a timed win, if you recall.
I don't. It was long enough ago that it's – I remember I beat you, and then I then went on to the next round.
That's all Benton does. If he ever loses, it's a timed win. You don't get out of there easy. Except for last year at Gen Con.
Why do you think that game of ours took 2.5 hours? They took away the time limit, and it just kept going.
Yeah. Now, that's the thing. When I was playing Benton, the thing that was going through my head is like, man, this is just like going against Greg. Like, they sit there, they think about it, and me too, I'm kind of a slow player. But, yeah, those games go on for a while, for sure.
Daryl, I just get
bored.
What'd you say, Benton? Yeah.
We came to an absolute stalemate. I still say that if they hadn't had a time limit on that game, we'd still be sitting there because we had locked each other down and we couldn't do anything.
Yeah, I remember. That was I loved that deck. I really did. It was a blast. It was a great match. It was really close, too. So it was good.
It was good. It was better for you, but it was good.
It was definitely better for me. Better for me. I mean, you look back on that. Whatever. I won't get into that. We can talk about that another time. But that deck was fun. That was fun. Anywho.
All right. So I'm gonna, as we end this segment, I'm gonna put everyone on the spot. If the one regional you're playing in was tomorrow, what deck would you play? Go, Daryl.
Wildling. Absolutely.
Will.
Slight caveat, because I did want to throw in one last thing on the approaching the format thing.
Oh my god, well, you're killing me.
Because I didn't ask myself. I would also lean towards starting with control, but the reason being, I think control does better in formats where it knows the top other decks that it's going to face, so it knows what it needs to counter. But we have not just one awesome toolbox agenda now in the Maester's Path, but we now have the Black Sails as a solid toolbox option to search out any answers it needs. So, especially that being new shiny and stuff, I think control is actually sitting in a surprisingly decent place. There. Okay. Deck, if I were playing in one tomorrow, though, actually going to go with my Power Behind the Thrones rush to, all right, you know, completely counter what I just said.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with for me Stark Siege. I think it's in a really good place right now. It's the only Thrones deck I actually have built right now, so that also affects me a little bit. Benton, finish this off. If your regional tournament was tomorrow, what would you play?
Probably Greyjoy Maesters.
That's a good deck.
Respect.
There you go.
Just hope your opponent isn't playing too proud to bow.
God, I hate that card.
Yeah, that was perfect, man. To see the look on Will's face when that happened, he said, what was it that you said, like, when the hell did you draw into that or something like that?
When the hell did I start playing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Because I think I followed it with, I've never seen anyone other than me play that card.
Yeah.
Well, I love that card.
You couldn't believe it. That was crazy. That was a good match.
Yeah, and it's been a couple years since I played that card. I played it during the Wildling summer.
Yeah, we both played in that tournament, Will.
Oh, yeah, I forgot, because you tend to just copy my decks.
And then make them better.
Yeah.
Before Worlds, at that first Gen Con that I went to, I don't even think I knew that you could play the Wildling and Nightswatch agendas together. I was like, what? These guys need 23 power to win? Anyhow.
Props and slops.
We props and slops and...
I think we're propsing and slopsing.
I think nice. We are.
Awesome.
Well, I have a prop. I mean, it's a revisit prop I recently got back into again. Fire Emblem after setting it down for like 2 weeks.
Whoa. 2 weeks.
And I'm loving it again.
Nice.
I was actually playing that for a brief time while Will was on one of his tirades. like on this episode.
Really?
Yeah, it was sitting next to me, and I just picked it up while Will was talking.
I feel so, disrespected.
Wow. You should.
I mean, nobody will know, but I went up and took a pee during this episode while you guys were talking. So, well, when you handle this much liquor, man, it's got to come out eventually.
So. But yeah, so back to my prop. Fire Emblem Awakening on 3DS. If you have a 3DS and aren't playing that game, you are not using your system to its best ability.
No wonder Will kills conversations. You guys are picking up video games on him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's because it's so boring. He just never stops talking.
He loves the sound of his own voice.
I actually hate it.
That sounds good. Sultry. I'm going to go ahead and prop the TV series Merlin. I don't know if I have.
Have I been your prop every week for like a month?
It's been going on for a while, Daryl.
Here's another taste of it. Merlin, watch it.
Actually echo that. Merlin's really good.
Yeah.
It's been pretty decent.
I'd like to prop Bernie. Has anybody seen Bernie? It's on Netflix. Jack Black, true story. It's almost a docudrama. It's fantastic. Hilarious. Jack Black should have won an Oscar. I know that sounds hard to believe. But go watch it. It's fantastic. Black comedy.
I've never heard of that, but with your recommendation, I absolutely will watch that. Maybe tonight.
Check it out.
I'm willing to check this out, because you're the one that recommended Luther to me, and that show was amazing.
Yes, it is.
Luther's
love
nice.
Luther.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember now. I may have mentioned it in passing, but we're repeating a lot of props. So I'm going to throw out another prop to Final Fantasy Dimensions, which I've been playing on my Nook, which the size of screen on like a 7-inch tablet, I've decided, makes the perfect portable gaming device. And it's just a totally awesome retro 2D Final Fantasy. And it's fun. Job system, two different worlds with a different party of characters in each that you flip back and forth between. It's good.
I would like to prop Dropbox. I don't know if you've never used Dropbox before, but it's fun. That's it. I'm really too drunk to even care at this point. I don't have any props.
Daryl, prop whatever you're drinking.
I will prop Jack Daniel's whiskey and Sprite, because that's what I'm drinking.
There you go.
Well, that's what I drank, and it's been really hard to keep it together, to keep this episode SFW.
And props for that, Daryl.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'll prop
Daryl. Good job.
Agreed. Yeah,
you're welcome, guys. I've had so many openings to say so many terrible things you wouldn't want your grandmother or your in-laws to hear you say. And I'm the guy that's not afraid to say those. I'll bear that cross. I'll bear that burden. I'll say those things for you. But for Benton, who is really just one of those guys that I look up to in the Game of Thrones universe, I decided to make this episode safe for work. So you guys are welcome.
Good job, Daryl. I'm proud of you.
That's
what I wouldn't say I'm proud of you. I'm honestly more shocked than anything else.
Yeah. No, trust me. It is a struggle. It is a comp, if you will.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was low.
That is not low.
Hitler references?
No. That is just German.
That's all. He's not wrong there.
I just said struggle in German, that's all. No Hitler references on this episode. Safe for work. You're welcome, that dude on the forums who cried about our episodes not being safe for work. This is for you. Anybody else?
Well, I have another prop.
Go
it's
right
to Totino's Pizza Rolls. I had literally never had them before like a week or two ago, and Alicia got them for me to snack on, and they're all I've had at work for lunch for the past since I started eating them.
Weren't you a bachelor for a long time?
I was.
How did you not have those?
He doesn't like change. He doesn't like change. He just ate the same microwavable pizzas before.
He's not wrong.
Like, seriously. Brett Zeiler hates change. So he will always do the same thing day after day as far as his lunch goes.
Yep. And now I have a new thing to not ever change again.
I'm so glad she's in your life. She's broadening your horizons from pizzas to pizza rolls. Very nice.
Baby steps.
Progress.
Oh, wow. Well, I've got another prop. I'm going to throw out a prop to the pretty sweet little app that the HBO Game of Thrones group brought out. The what was the name of the little Game of Thrones sigil creator thing that they put up on Facebook was actually kind of cool. So you can go make a little thing to celebrate your love of season 3 starting in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
If you see anything like that on the Facebook, that's Will or Brett. That's not me. Just so you know.
Did you guys catch the, speaking of which, the 2-page spread ad that they did in the New York Times?
No.
It had a shadow of a dragon over the, like it was flying over the page.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I think I did see,
I thought that was really cool.
A photo of that and didn't realize where it had originally appeared.
And in the bottom right hand, a little, just a small advertisement talking about the new series.
Now that you mentioned that, I do understand that it was really cool.
Nice.
Yep.
Can't wait.
Yep. Anybody else?
I don't have any of the prop for swaps.
Me neither.
You know, all I can think of to slop right now is cardboard. I got the worst cardboard cut of my life Monday night.
Ooh.
And it was,
those are worse than paper cuts.
Yeah, I know. It was excruciating. You know, those fridge packs, you know, for like Coke and whatever, the boxes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I had one of those open and I got off work and I went to reach in and get one. And I guess I wasn't paying attention to where I was reaching. So my thumb like slides along the edge of the cardboard. And slices like in between my thumbnail and my thumb, and you know, that was real awkward to cut that apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll ruin your day.
So screw you, cardboard.
What about you, Ben?
No, I think that's it for me.
Oh, and I actually totally lied. I do have one more prop that I completely forgot about until just now, and it's one that I think Will definitely be interested in. Telltale Games, people that made the Walking Dead game that came out last year to much acclaim. They had announced that the season 2 of that wasn't coming out until 2014, which had me really bummed. But then apparently, I don't know if it was, the announcement was made today, was the first day I saw it. The game they're coming out with this year, instead of that, is a Fables game based off of Bigby Wolf.
Wait.
Fables, called The Wolf Among Us.
Awesome.
So,
yeah, that is.
Yeah,
cool.
I'm super stoked for that because I love.
Oh yeah, Fables is awesome. I haven't read it in a long time, but there's a sale on right now. I got the Walking Dead episode 1 for free. Downloaded that today, so I'm looking forward to that.
Oh yeah,
it's great.
It is great. You should play the hell out of that.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
No, I'm really That's all I had.
All right. Yeah, I'm good for now.
All right. Well, I just wanted to thank you, listeners, for another fine episode of Two Champs, One Chump. Another big thank you for Mr. Jonathan Benton for joining us this evening.
Thanks for being on the show, Ben.
Yeah, I had fun, guys.
Thank you.
We'll have to have you on again.
Absolutely, if he'll take us.
As soon as he finds more cards, we rated poorly.
Right.
All right, so thank you again. We'll see you next week, same time, same place.
Danger Zone!
Everything's recording a-okay. Daryl.
What? Oh. Hanging out with the silver fox. We're holding each other's cocks. Yeah. That's like That's me and Benton's rap right there. We got like this song.
Wow.
Yeah, that's, you know what? That sounded a lot more homosexual than I had originally planned it to. Because I don't think I meant to say that we're holding each other's cocks. Because that doesn't sound right. At all.
Jonathan, can I have your permission to use that for the Easter egg?
No, we don't need to use it.
I don't know that guy.
who invited this one?
Oh, God. Yeah, that was
classic.
Sounds like
classic Daryl.
Yeah, it sounded a lot less weird when I thought of it for like the half of a second before I said it.